Welcome back to Normies Like Us, the podcast that reminds you it's hip to be square. We've got cabin fever, and it's making us insane. The only cure is to set sail on our final pirate's voyage. It's the Muppet Treasure Island on Normies Like Us.
I hate my life.
I hate your life too.
Run! Run to the floor!
Long John Silver.
I got cabin fever! I've got it too!
Now here we are stuck on the front of this stupid ship.
Well, it could be worse. We could be stuck in the audience.
Oh!
You heard it up top. We are setting sail for hopefully the last time. We've said that before, but finally our pirate voyage comes to an end when we go back to a classic, a felt classic, that is, because we're talking Muppet Treasure Island here on Normies Like Us with your hosts. I don't know, Captain Colin, I guess.
Sure. Mike Pitt, I don't know.
And this is Long John Jacob. Arg.
That one nice, I feel good about.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. As Colin said, this is probably the most heartfelt, you know, pirate movie that we've covered on the whole pirate voyage. We're coming to the end.
That's
Pieces
right.
Of Eight. How many of these have we done? Pirate related, oh, right? It's five.
We did and five. Yeah, Pirates
One
of
Piece
Caribbean.
Is like a six.
Oh, that's true.
Seven.
Oh, Pieces of Seven? Pieces
Uncharted.
Of eight? Oh, yeah, there's a Piece of Eight. There we go.
We'll count I like it, guys. This is Mike, you for Christmas pushed for us to do the Muppet Christmas Carol, of course. We all had a blast doing that. And then we talked about what should be our bonus for the Pirates miniseries, like Galaxy Quest was for our Star Trek one. Mm-hmm. And we all sort of weighed in that maybe it'd be fun to talk Muppets again.
Yeah.
That's right.
We kind of pitch some ideas for other genres they should be in. We're like, yeah, they kind of are at their best in a genre thing. So it was cool to tie them into the Pirates, because I remember liking this movie a lot when I was younger. So I was like, yeah, let's visit this and see if we enjoyed as much as the Christmas one. So, yeah, but what were you guys' history with the Muppet Treasure Island before this rewatch? You know, Jacob, you've seen this before? I assume we have.
Well, I had seen it before, yes. And I also want to ask if there's any other adaptations of Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson that you guys have seen or have memories of.
Oh, fair.
But yeah, I've seen this. It's been a while, so I don't know how often I saw it, but I do remember it pretty well. So yeah, it's I enjoy it. Yeah.
We had the straight up, I would assume, ripped from Blockbuster, two handmade tapes that my dad had put together that were Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppet Treasure Island. They were in pretty heavy rotation. And as far as the book, I love Robert Louis Stevenson. The fact that the same guy was like, I'll kind of invent the adventure genre and kind of like come up with the best antagonist ever. Like, what if like a lowly, you know, kindly man like turned out to be like wiser and like more scary than you thought he was? But my other side of my writing style will be, I'll come up with like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, just like the craziest, like goofiest idea possible. And to answer your question, Jacob, I don't know if you guys had these, but when I was really little in elementary school, there used to be those thick ass boy sort of adventure books that were sort of like toned down, abridged versions of stories. Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer. I had all.
I read
of
those
I
as
had
well.
This one for sure.
Absolutely, I do remember those. King Arthur and whatnot. I think Robin Hood and all those kind of things.
Okay.
So, Colin, you mentioned talking about Robert Louis Stevenson and the character of Long John Silver specifically. I do think it's interesting that a lot of common pirate tropes were invented by this story with Long John Silver. The one leg, the talking parrot, which really wasn't a thing before this story. So, and I think he's an interesting character because he's kind of he's a complex character because he still cares about young Jim Hawkins, but he's also, you know, conflicted because he's a kind of a bad guy too. So I'm excited to talk
you
about
love
him.
And you love the actor who plays him in this movie. I don't know about you guys. Mike,
absolutely.
Tell me your history with this.
Yeah, so I've honestly never read the book or seen any other version but this one. This is the only wow. Treasure Island that exists to me. But wow. I do like it. I like Long John Silver, as you're saying. You know, he's just a cook. That's why you have to have some Tim Curry in the kitchen in this movie. That's right. So,
we love Tim Curry.
I'm excited to learn more about kind of the facts that relate to the actual original book and stuff, because I'm kind of just only coming at it from the Muppet angle. But, you know.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump into Muppet Treasure Island, I wanted to ask you guys, last week we did our Oscar Best Picture draft, of course.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I wanted to say, have you guys been watching any of the movies? Had that made you want to revisit any of those Oscar-winning movies?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jacob, to keep it light on this family-friendly episode, I did go back and watch Platoon under your recommendation.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it was nominated. I think it was, though, but Apocalypse Now as well, just Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh, sure. That,
absolutely.
Those were real light watches, real good time. They're incredible, but it's definitely heavy, but I do appreciate them for masterpiece.
The Vietnam
status.
War was, you know, kind of a bad thing. Hot take.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I watched Platoon as well. I also watched, first I watched The Godfather and The Godfather Part 2.
Nice.
Also Francis Ford Coppola. And those are both on Paramount Plus if you want to check them out, normies.
Nice.
And all those movies I had seen before, but not for a very long time, many years ago, back when I was probably in high school and being like, I'm interested in film. Let me watch some of these great films, quote
classics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I tell you what, they hold up. They're pretty good movies, those Godfathers.
Still never seen Godfather, still never seen Platoon.
Wow.
We did, to tell the listeners, we did a little math off podcast, and we discovered what the fan score on Rotten Tomatoes versus the critical score versus like what the total box office was.
Mm-hmm.
Let people know, Jacob won basically critical stuff across the board. I smoked on box office because, of course, Titanic. Mike, a good showing
Return
there
of
with
King.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think a little bit of personal favorites. You know, the critics are with Jacob, the money's with Colin, and I just think I bring a little bit of heart, you know?
Yeah. Well, I didn't have a huge blockbuster, and my highest grossing movie out of all of them was Schindler's List at like $300 million.
I hit a billion with Lord of the Rings, but again, you had all the critical darlings, so good work on that.
A billion
all mine were
the
in
ring,
the...
Man.
In the 90s, for my critic scores, all five of my movies, and I feel vindicated about Platoon over Unforgiven as much as I also like Unforgiven as a movie. But I feel like, Mike, you going back watching Platoon, thinking it's a good movie, you know what? I feel vindicated.
Can I do a theory?
Yeah.
Can I pose a theory to you, Jacob, that I think because we were both commenting, wow, it's so weird that my Rotten Tomatoes scores were so low on the fans side.
The audience, like
specifically Titanic. I think, fan theory-wise, because it gets released more often, those movies get hit and rated more. So there's more of a chance for it to just plunge and plunge and plunge.
Sure.
You get young people, this is boring, you know? They're not used to old movies.
But I think Titanic holds up as a very crowd-pleasing movie.
And it's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I watched Godfather Part 2, and Platoon. Apocalypse Now also on my list to watch. But I watched those three in like the span of 3 days. And then I watched Muppet Treasure Island, an equally good movie.
It's a palate cleanser, yeah. I had never seen Apocalypse Now. And I watched like the final cut or whatever. Like it's like three
Redux.
Hours long.
A Redux.
Yeah. Holy shit. I didn't know what I was getting into. That thing is a freaking... Odyssey. It's crazy, that movie. So.
The Hearts of Darkness, right?
Yeah. Just kind of, they transplanted it to Vietnam.
Is
exactly,
The Doors a good band, Mike? Or is it just that Vietnam fucked everyone up so much they thought
it's
The Doors was
a It's
good
the
band?
Soundtrack of Vietnam. You know, The Doors and
Break on Through
the Allman Brothers. Yeah.
I think The Doors are rated. They didn't have a bass player. Their keyboardist played bass
Their
rhythm.
Great.
So he's playing two keyboards at once.
Yeah.
And
there was one time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And a stage collapsed at one point and they kept playing anyway. So I think The Doors are cool. They're a Sunset Strip band. I like Jim Morrison. So
let me give you a fun fact here, Mike, about The Doors as well.
Rated.
Platoon, directed and written by Oliver Stone. We talked a little bit about him last week. Huge fan of The Doors. Made a movie called The Doors, starring Val Kilmer as
not a very good movie.
No, but he was such a big fan of The Doors. He originally envisioned this movie Because he was in Vietnam, he fought in Vietnam, he came back and wanted to make a movie based on his experiences. And so in the late 60s is when he started envisioning this movie that didn't get made until 1986. But originally he wanted to make it, he wanted Jim Morrison to be the main character, the Charlie Sheen part.
No kidding.
Yeah, so he was a huge fan of the Doors, obviously used that their music in Platoon and kind of cemented them as like the soundtrack of Vietnam, along with, like, you know, Fortunate Son, which I think is another classic Vietnam.
So let me ask this real quick. We were busting Jacob's balls last week being like, you're blowing a pick on Platoon. Do you feel a little vindicated now, Jacob? And Mike, do you feel like, no, I'll back that choice up. Yeah.
I'm on his team. I think Platoon is really, really good. And I texted you guys too. I'm like, man, the Sheen family just can have no luck with Vietnam.
That's right. You got Martin,
Charlie, and Martin.
Apocalypse Now, and you got Charlie and Platoon, his son.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlie could do anything. He was so good at comedy.
Yeah,
truly.
He did Hot Shots Major League
as well. As an actor, he is. I thought he was incredible.
He's great. And Martin too crushed it.
He lost his mind, right?
Yeah.
But Colin, let me just pitch you on this ensemble cast of Platoon.
Tom Berenger.
Tom Berenger, who's like the villain. He's great. You got Willem Dafoe. And am I crazy to think that Willem Dafoe was like a very handsome young man? I said this to Mike and he's like, he still looks like a Green Goblin to me.
He
was very handsome when he was younger.
Very
distinctive
Joker.
Face, but he's a good looking guy. You got Charlie Sheen. And then in the minor parts, you had Keith David. Mm-hmm. Forrest Whitaker, Johnny Depp in like his third film role ever.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? You had John C. McGinley from Scrubs, Dr. Cox.
Oh my gosh.
You had Kevin Dillon. Tony Todd was in it in a very small part.
The Candyman's in the bushes.
So think about that. You got Keith David and Tony Todd. I mean, what more could you want? So great ensemble cast. Just a bunch of guys dying and shooting and
you guys finish chaos. Up with the Brian De Palma, Michael J. Fox, what is it called? Is that Fortunes of Valor, Fortunes of War? I can't, what's that Vietnam?
I don't
one?
Know. I've never seen that.
Sean Penn, Michael J. Fox.
Ooh.
I was telling Mike the other must see Vietnam War movies is like Full Metal Jacket, you know, Stanley Kubrick.
Of course.
The Deer Hunter, which is kind of about, you know, soldiers coming back from the war and having like PTSD and shit. That's one with the Russian roulette. Not totally historically accurate because Russian roulette wasn't really a thing that Viet Cong soldiers did to prisoners of war, but it was the original story was based on it was a Russian thing, and then they transplanted it to Vietnam for the movie. But anyway,
it's like Heart of Darkness.
But Apocalypse Now is on my. Because I've got the, you know, I just watched The Godfather, so I want to see the trilogy of great Francis Ford Coppola 70s movies, right, with those three, and then the Vietnam connection with Platoon. So
it's all because of
Helldivers. Go back watching these classics.
Yeah. I watched Full Metal Jacket. Again, they're all kind of tough watches, and Casualties of War, Colin, is what you're mentioning with Michael J. Fox, Sean Penn, and it has John C. Reilly, apparently.
Oh, no. He's got to get out of there, guys.
Ving Rhames? Okay, yeah, that's going to have to get on the rotation.
Wow.
So how do we connect all of these movies back to Muppet Treasure Island is the trick. How do we walk it back to the pirate ship here? Can anybody make the connection? I mean,
was Marlon Brando in this movie, Muppet Treasure Island? I don't think so.
No, but the guy makes a reference. I could have been a contender. So
that's
we do
right.
it on the waterfront reference.
It makes the Marlon Brando
reference. Did you guys hear
reference?
The done it. Star Trek reference? That was
yes,
where I was like,
yes,
this movie was too. Made for us.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
There's
well,
a
I'm
lot
glad.
Of references that are definitely like, these are for the adults in the audience, not the kids that are watching with their, you know, it's for the parents. But
and I think, to bring us back to the Muppets of it all, you know, even though, you know, the Vietnam movies, yeah, check them out, I guess. There is something like the writing is really sharp here, and it is kind of for adults and kids. You know, it's mostly aimed at kids, but the writing is, like, I think, really strong. And the fact that they got bought by Disney, it's like, you couldn't do this. Not at that time period. You know what I mean? You couldn't have made The Christmas Carol and The Treasure Island. Like,
yeah,
there's just something about that era and the writing style of that, like, prime era Muppet stuff. And it's like, it certainly has its own distinct kind of voice and visual language that I really appreciate. And there's been nothing like it.
Totally.
Since, so,
yeah. When they were very faithful to the original story, similar to The Christmas Carol, they really like the major plot beats of this movie really follow pretty straightforwardly the plot of Treasure Island. The characters, even like Squire Trelawney and Mr. Mm-hmm. Arrow, the first mate, those are all taken from the original book. So they're pretty faithful in that.
Yeah, Sweetums invented in the book.
Yeah, yep. My favorite.
Well, yeah. Well, speaking of sticking close to the plot, maybe we should stick close to it before we get lost in it, you know?
That's right.
And hop on over to the ship and let's try to find the map and some buried treasure, you know, rum till I float onto the next segment, guys.
No alcohol on this ship. I'm Kermit the Frog.
Oh, I got to talk about that bit.
My hands are slippery. I'm a frog.
Oh, my gosh. So good.
That seem like such, I mean, I know Jane Austen's Mafia exists, but doesn't that seem like such an obvious Muppet parody? The Muppet Father?
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just, it's all, you know, Gonzo, I want you to hit him over the head with a rubber chicken. Who, me? You know, it's, yeah.
Gonzo
it's
is like, the Fredo.
Little suits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Gonzo would be, who's the fuck up? It's
Fredo.
Fredo, yeah.
Fredo, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he'd be like,
so then who in this is the Godfather? Who's Marlon?
Well, if you're doing,
it's Kermit.
Well, I would argue if you're doing Godfather Part One, then he would be Michael.
Oh, he's Pacino.
Yeah.
And he would comes be like Fozzie Bear would be Marlon Brando or something.
Yeah. Oh, and you see Miss Piggy is the wife role. It all fits.
Yeah.
This is great.
There's like a Muppet horse head in a bed. Oh my God.
Oh, make God. Him an offer he can't refuse.
Wow.
We're back. We're once again pitching other Muppet content because that's what we love to do when we talk the Muppets here on Normies Like Us, mm-hmm. which we are right now. We're talking Muppets Treasure Island. We were just pitching Muppets Godfather. I just want to say before we move on from Vietnam, full Muppet jacket.
Wow.
Yeah, the Vincent D'Onofrio stuff yeah. would be interesting.
Which one's Joker or which one's like Gomer Pyle? Gonzo would be the crazy yeah. one.
Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio was Gomer Pyle, the guy who loses his mind basically.
Probably
Kermit's the drill
there.
Instructor, but he's like really small and nice.
He's the Arlie Ermey
drill
instructor guy.
Yep.
About the Muppet Father. My pitch would be actually for the Marlon Brando role, that would be the token human role. So you would get someone like
that's interesting.
Tom Hardy, maybe to a Tom Hardy to play to do like a Marlon Brando impression.
Sometimes they get like that big bear that's in this one, you know, that he's plays just like a background scallywag. You know what I mean? The sort of like older looking, like big chubby bear Muppet that they have. He's not like a human sized Sweetums one, but he's like a small
right.
I like the idea of a actual.
You need the
great
token
actor.
Human, right?
Yes.
And then you have Kermit good. as Al Pacino.
You got Beakers, the bookkeeper.
Corleone. Yeah.
A little suit.
Actually, it's a Muppet's horse head in the bed.
It's Tom Hagen.
Wakes
cartoon's
up.
The name of the horse, right? It's a great horse.
Sigliere. Yeah. But, you know, yeah. Treasure Island. So the thing with Muppets is in the 90s, right? If I can give you a little background on why did they choose Treasure Island? Well, so after the success of Christmas Carol, right? They were looking for other literary adaptations that they could do because that's kind of, you know, what worked for them with Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. And they were actually looking at two options that were kind of the finalists, and it was either going to be Treasure Island or it was going to be King Arthur to bring that back around from those young adult books. So they were going to do sort of a knights and dragons and fantasy type of thing with King Arthur. But they ended up choosing Treasure Island, of course. And by the way, this was co-written by our guy, Kirk Thatcher, who we've talked about before, the punk rock guy from Star Trek.
I was so
of
happy
course.
To see his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's one of the main creators, writers of the Dinosaurs show that I'll never stop talking about, which is from the Henson Company. But anyway.
That's probably why there's the Star Trek now. Joke.
Probably,
could
yeah.
Could be. Because, yeah, this would have been after his appearance in Star Trek. And he's still working with the Muppets to this day. He directed the Muppet Haunted Mansion that we talked about a couple years ago, I think. So, pretty cool connection.
Kirk Thatcher. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course, directed by Brian Henson, son of Jim Henson. So Treasure Island, of course, we had Tim Curry, Rocky Horror Picture Show, great actor that we all
Legend? Is that the
legend.
one where he's the devil, right? Yeah.
I think underrated Tim Curry movie is Clue.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Plays
yeah.
Butler.
Yeah, he's probably the best part of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good call.
And he's always just fun when he pops up doing his Tim mm-hmm. Curry thing.
He, oh, yeah. You know, it's so funny that you throw it to the Rocky Horror. I love that movie. He's yeah. a guy who makes such distinct choices. The look in this as Long John Silver, I don't know if you guys saw, he shaves off the ends of his eyebrows so they look super straight and menacing. It's almost like he's doing like kabuki mask work, Mike. Like he's doing like face like makeup stuff that he does. You know, it's just so cool and distinct.
Yeah.
You can see a line too for the his little kind of look here. And Johnny Depp making that more rock and roll too. Like he's got a swagger to him, like his little setup, you know? Yeah.
And of course, he's the sort of Michael Caine of this movie where he's the token human. Not that he's the only human, of course, because we also have our young Jim Hawkins, played by Kevin Bishop, who I don't know if he really did anything else as he got older, but.
Seems like some voice work, maybe.
Yeah. He was one of hundreds of kids to audition for this role, apparently, and they chose him. He's a fun fact, though. Yeah, he's good. So originally they were going to have Gonzo and Rizzo play two characters named Jim and Hawkins.
That would have been much better.
Okay.
But then they decided they needed the human element of having a real human boy play the character. So they just have Gonzo and Rizzo just be his sidekicks, I guess, that are just kind of there hanging out with him.
Guys, what do you think if they went through and did the Excalibur? Is the human Arthur or Merlin, do you probably think?
I would say Kermit would be King Arthur, possibly. Yeah.
But wouldn't Gonzo be Merlin? Like, there's the thing about King Arthur, it's like all the parts are fun. You want the Muppets to be all the knights of the
maybe
round
Kermit,
table.
Kermit would be Lancelot, and then the human would be Arthur, and then Gonzo.
Oh, Miss Piggy
and
Guinevere.
Something.
Yeah, for Lancelot. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying a human is kissing Guinevere, Miss Piggy?
No, that's if Lancelot is Kermit,
right? He comes in and gets her, but she's still married to Arthur.
That's a funny
bit, too,
I'm
not
too,
that
though.
Familiar with the plot of King Arthur, but...
Especially his head's just never in frame. It just always shot at muscle.
It would
level.
Be interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think about Gonzo and Rizzo here just kind of hanging out and just being along for the ride, playing themselves once again, as in Christmas Carol, but
we're
also,
really playing up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Charles Dickens is the best character in A Christmas Carol. Like, obviously, their dynamic rules. I think we even mentioned in A Christmas Carol that this one is kind of more of a, maybe I'd say Rizzo heavier movie, because obviously the Rat Cruise stuff.
Yes.
It kind of abandons them back and forth. So it's not the strongest film for both those characters, I'd say. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting because they were supposed to originally going to be the Jim Hawkins role, but because they have this human boy, they just kind of hang out with him. But it's not like Gonzo's like, I'm Robert Louis Stevenson, and here's a story about pirates.
Yeah,
you know,
which would have been a take.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
but
I
instead, they're just kind of along for the ride,
right? With the story being about like Hawkins' dad giving him a compass, and he's kind of dealing with these father figures of Kermit and Long John Silver. Like, I think it's better to have a human boy for that narrative, even though I would really like to see Gonzo and Rizzo just doing a whole pirate adventure. But I think it's fine.
The number of times we've said human boy on this podcast.
A real human boy.
Not a Pinocchio. I enjoyed the performance by the human boy.
We don't know his name. We only know the Muppets by name, proper noun.
I do like when they're like, oh, we got Rizzo the rat and Gonzo the whatever. I don't know.
Played all
whatever.
The time.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, Jacob. You say that they're like, well, they'll be Jim's little companions. It's not as if they're tied to each other, because, of course, they do get separated at one point when Jim is taken to the island. They have a separate adventure where Jim saves them. Right. Rizzo's like, thank God you're here. And then they go off to save more people, where I'm like, they are kind of original characters, which is kind of an interesting take.
It is odd. True. And then they have their own scenes, like when they get tortured at one point by the pirates and they stretch Gonzo out, which is a very funny visual that they do. I could play in the NBA.
I think he's enjoying this. It's like, let's torture the rat.
No, I hate basketball.
I think they're in it just enough. Maybe it would be distracting if they were the leads. Maybe. Like,
Yeah.
could it be too much? I love them, but could it be too much? I don't know.
That's why I think they change it, because we need the human element of the Tim Curry human boy relationship wouldn't work as well if it was Gonzo and Rizzo instead of a real human
Well,
boy, right?
I
Yeah.
guess then let me pose a question to y'all, because maybe this is the controversial story thing. Because it's not just the Michael Caine, where we talked about one human being. Jacob, you brought up that we literally have two, and our two lead characters, Tim Curry, human boy. But we also have the mother character, which you go, well, what an obvious, easy slot in for Miss Piggy. And then, of course, instead, they do the sort of gender bent and kind of don't
Benjamina
fully
Gunn.
utilize.
A little strange. And I've always thought that one of the biggest weaknesses of the Muppets in doing these adaptations is the lack of female Muppet characters. They're very male heavy, right? It's really just like when you're going to female Muppets, it's like Miss Piggy, obviously, and then who else, right?
The
Like
bass
Janet
player,
is
the
the.
band.
I think, yeah, Janet's the weird one in the band with the squinty eyes and the lips, I think,
The
right?
big lips. But
What's her
really,
story? I don't know.
I've always felt like they needed more female characters, and maybe now if they were like inventing new Muppets, they would it would be more there'd be more of an equal balance. But it's always been very male heavy, and that's kind of a problem, because you if you have multiple female characters that you need Muppets for, then it's kind of gets difficult, right?
Like in Christmas Carol, they had to create Fezziwig's wife, and then Kermit's daughters were kind of like original new Muppets for those roles, minor parts. But like, yeah, you did have to kind of create some new
But they're always
characters. But
just more pigs, Mike. Like, I guess why not just like, just like you don't have the confidence to be like, here is a female character that Frank Oz doesn't do.
True. Maybe it's a byproduct of the potential boys club, so to speak. I mean, it wasn't all, but like the
It's definitely a
top,
product of its time before,
I think it
equality
really
was
is.
more,
Write what
considered
you
in these
know.
things. But yeah.
It would be good though.
But yeah, of course we have the, I don't know if she's Jim Hawkins' mother or just like the matriarch of this inn, because he says at
Caretaker,
one point that he's
yeah.
like an orphan.
I'll have no.
We also have the Billy Bones character, which is another human.
Oh, I love Billy
That's right, of
Bones.
course. Billy Connolly is giving a tremendous performance to this movie. Scottish stand-up comedian who I will award the Michael Caine Award as person who's decided he's not acting in a movie with Muppets. Obviously, Tim Curry's doing very good as well, but Billy Connolly, like losing his mind on that bed, dying, and Gonzo being like, "Oh, I thought this was a kid's movie." Like, you do feel that energy.
It gets pretty dark.
When he
He
rolls
dies in front of
downstairs
them.
and now he's just yelling, "I got the terrors!" Like he's having PTSD meltdown, and there's like a Muppet signing. It's like, yeah,
It
he's
did make
going
me think,
crazy.
if I was born in a different era, I think my job would be guy who tells stories at the bar. Like when they like when he when like the night's like really getting going, it's like, all right, well, Colin's gonna get very drunk and tell like a long tale. Well,
Sure. Well, of course, you're
Exactly.
the last remaining crew member of that fabled
Yes,
expedition
of
of
course.
Captain
Of
Flint.
course.
Yeah,
Shiver
and
my
I'm
timbers.
no, and he's probably one of my favorite characters in this, you know. Jimmy, like that whole
I've
bit.
never forgotten that, Mike. It's been in my life forever.
I'm
that
And then, of course, you have the black
Jim.
spot, which really stuck with me as a kid. Like getting the black spot is like the worst thing that could happen. And of course, that was popularized by the original story, Treasure Island. And it's been a very common pirate thing since, right?
We
Yeah,
saw
and he
Johnny
just
get it, right? That's
That's
right.
right. Not as cool as this. He didn't have Blind Pierre deliver it to him, which that's a great sequence. I love Blind Pierre.
And that's all from the original story, is that, Captain
Really?
Flint, well, there's a character named, I think, Blind Pew, and it's, a lot of these character names are taken directly from the story.
Oh, I
But
love
you have
that.
Captain Flint, the fated cursed voyage where they leave the treasure on the island, and then I think he kills the rest of his crew so that
So that nobody
it can
knows.
be remain hidden. But somehow Billy Bones gets out, and then he gets the black
But
spot,
what
blah blah
happens
blah.
to him? What happens to the captain? It's never said.
Not in
Don't know. I
this.
don't know.
Maybe.
But like, so the Miss Piggy character, Benjamina Gunn or
She says
Ben Gunn.
she slept with him. She says
Yeah,
they
she
were
was sleeping
really?
around. That was a big part of this where Kermit's like, oh, him too.
What? Oh, I was
But
lonely.
In the Whoa. In the novel, Ben Gunn is a crew member of Captain Flint who gets marooned on the island and is like living with the natives.
Survives this slaughter, essentially. Like, it is an unknown factor. And they're like, oh shit, you've been here the whole time? He's like, yep, and I'm in charge and I know where the gold is and it doesn't matter because I've lost my fucking mind.
Yeah, he's really gone. It's sort of a Marlon Brando Apocalypse Now situation.
Yeah, that's true. The horrors. The horrors, Mike. Yeah.
Wow, the horrors.
The horrors. The horrors. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know that, like, you said Arrow being like a character that's
the first mate Arrow is a character. Squire Trelawney, the Fozzie Bear character,
Archer.
Mr. Arrow, the first mate.
Oh, is it Sam Captain the Eagle? Archer?
No, it's Mr. Arrow because he's the first mate.
Captain Smollett, Arrow.
Captain Smollett. Yeah,
Captain Jesse Smollett. That's right.
Yeah,
Jesse Smollett. Yeah.
Yeah. Reattack.
Yeah, who's Fuzzywig playing? He's like kind of the guy who's bankrolling this. He has that great line, of course.
Yeah, that's Trelawney.
Yeah, dim-witted rich people's sons for, you know, like, yeah.
Right. He's got a weird joke where his finger is called Mr. Bimbo that tells him things, and I didn't understand any of that, but...
Well, I'll tell you, back in the 90s, Jacob, when I saw that, I was like, oh... Fozzie's a word that I'm not allowed to say anymore, and there's something wrong with him. Like, it very much turned me off the character. I was like, sure. You think there's a person in your finger? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I was okay with it. I did find it kind of funny, the callbacks, because it's like, by the time we get to the sword fighting, and it's like, is there, like, you know, like, how did you see, you know what I mean? So, like, that's kind of funny. I had no idea.
Yeah. Mr. Bimbo. This is Mr. Bimbo.
He hired the crew, by the way. I don't know, man.
I think now's a good time to give my hot take about Treasure Island adaptations, of course, which is that this is my second favorite Disney Treasure Island adaptation. There's a movie called Treasure Planet that I think is great. I haven't seen it in a while, but I now kind of want to rewatch it. And I was thinking we should have watched that and did a double feature and compared the... the adaptations of Treasure Island, because it's a sci-fi adaptation where they're, instead of traveling in the sea with boats, they're like traveling through space. There's like wind sailing.
Cyberpunk as hell, which you two would enjoy. But Jacob, we debated about it because, of course, what's the other connection with that movie to the pirate films that we covered?
That's right. Treasure Island, it has a story by, I don't think it's a screenplay credit, but they contributed to the story. Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio, the writers of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Absolutely. So,
and this was pre Black Pearl, of course.
Right.
So would have been interesting to kind of compare the translations as in
that was not a big one for me growing up. I have watched it recently because obviously Blank Check covered Clements and Musker, and I went through all those films and they were great. But in rewatching that, Jacob, what I don't like about that movie, and I think is the weakness of that film, is they don't make you fall in love with Long John Silver. I think he's much more despicable. Yes, absolutely. When in this, when Jim is crying at the end and he's like, you have to go, like, you are kind of like touched in your heart. And like, Tim Curry perfectly captures that scoundrel you want to love.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. I think Long John Silver in this movie is really good. And he's a conflicted character because he does have like a genuine affection for Jim, and they have this sort of bond, and then he has to turn on him at, you know, and he even wants him to join his pirate crew, right? He's like, sing a whole song about how you could join us and stuff, and he's like, I'll never be a dirty rotten pirate like you.
But they kind of comment on privateering in that song, because he's like, you know, one country thinks this about us, other people think we're heroes for fucking sailing the seas and blowing stuff up. I was like, that's awesome, Lockdown. Yeah, so you're really selling me on this.
And there's a deep cut reference to the original story where, so in Treasure Island, Long John Silver at one point kills a crew member named Tom. And Jim Hawkins witnesses that and said, and he's like, oh, maybe he is like a bad guy.
Oh,
and then there's a scene
Tom.
Here where he kills, they killed dead Tom.
Dead Tom.
And they're like, isn't dead Tom already dead?
Old Tom.
That scene is hilarious where they're introducing all the pirates. I love that scene.
The woman with the deep voice, again, a joke I have never forgotten in my entire life.
Yeah.
Sugar or whatever she said.
It was like super ugly, like
big fat ugly baby 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was like Anna Maria is like the gross
monster.
That's
right. That's right. Anna Maria.
But
funny
I like
funny she's gags like, in that.
Never in the rest of it. I was like, they got to give her one more cameo. It's just that one single close up. That's it.
It's
Like,
so good
so
though.
well, something I noticed that I wonder if you guys noticed is that they seem to just like keep introducing different pirate characters throughout the movie. And I'm like, how many people were on this ship to begin with?
Yo.
Because by the end of it, they're like, are these new pirate Muppets and like humans and stuff? I'm like, where did all these guys come from?
The power of this film, and truly it is because no modern studio would let you do this, is that there is no gag that is not worth it for the Muppets. So, you know, and it's like a modern studio would be like, no, Kermit will be saying that joke. But instead, that Brian Henson is like, I want to do a close-up for 5 seconds. That's the goat pirate. I don't even know what that little goat's
I
name
love the
is.
goat
Just
pirate.
going, I love you, daddy. Good daddy. Or like whatever.
Yeah,
It's
yeah,
like, you know,
yeah.
after the black
Yeah.
spot scene where you're like, that joke is for nothing and no, it buys you
They
no
gave.
cred in pop culture to do that. It's
Yeah.
just a joke.
Well, they gave so many of the supporting minor characters like so much personality that it's crazy. Like Polly the Lobster and like all these
Kevin
minor
Clash
pirate characters.
Elmo plays
Right.
Polly the Lobster.
Oh,
Incredible.
sure.
Yeah,
And
I mean, oh, go ahead.
yeah. I was gonna say, like, just the reoccurring gag of the rats on the cruise is very funny. Like they're having this whole pirate adventure, and then there's just rats on vacation that are just hanging out too.
Did
Love
you guys
that. I
watch
love
the post-cred scene?
Yes. When he's on the
No, I
island.
didn't.
I never knew it existed. This
Oh
is the
my
first time
God,
I
I
ever
gotta
watched it.
watch
Mike,
that.
Jacob,
Same.
it's Tim Curry on the island. And a thing
Oh,
is talking
sure.
to him, being like, I'm glad you're here because I was kind of lonely before you got here. And Tim Curry's
Telling
like
bad
angry about
jokes.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Love
Like our
that.
pirates. No, there's like the throwaway gags. I wanted to mention one is when Long John Silver brings in to toast to the captain in the voyage, like, oh, this is a very, very rare whiskey bourbon that I've had from 1721. It's like super rare. And then they're pouring it, and I never noticed this as a kid, but they keep throwing it out the window. By the
Yeah.
time they're done, the bottle's like empty. I'm just like, oh my God, that's so
Time
expensive. And they don't
they'll
draw any
pour it and
attention to it.
Kermit will say like absolutely no alcohol on this voyage, and
Right.
he's okay, and he's like, but it's okay.
I'm just
Yeah, it's great.
imagining $3,000 a pour going out the window, like, oh man.
Yeah, first of all, I want to say, Kermit, quit being a buzzkill. Let me have my rum on my pirate ship. Where's the rum gone? Am I right?
Yeah, dude.
He's saying
Well,
no
dude, when he's
alcohol on this voyage? Come on, man. We're
Does Kermit
pirates.
ever join in on a song in this movie? He kind of just seems like a buzzkill.
I don't think he's singing in this one. No. Oh, he sings to Miss Piggy when they're upside down.
Oh, I guess that's true. They shared
Yeah.
the one romance. That
That's
again,
right.
Mike, want to talk about expensive shots? There's basically no gags in that whole thing. They cross cut with the pirates loving that they got the gold or whatever, but otherwise, it's a loving, tender scene between a frog puppet and a pig puppet telling each other that they love each other for like
Yeah.
3 minutes.
But they're like, we had to literally hang upside down, with our little arms. It's like the technical aspect just to get them hanging by their feet and wides, let alone
Oh.
like it's so
When Kermit
stupid.
does the flips, I mean, I was shocked by those special effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
Someone made an
sword
argument.
fighting.
Yeah, one of the best special effects ever done was in the Muppet movie, I think, when Kermit's just riding a bike and it's like
Yeah.
it's a
Seen those
puppet.
legs.
But he's moving his. It's like, how is this? So similar stuff here with like the fighting is some technical stuff, and it bums me out that like Treasure Planet, it's like a dying art. Like they built this boat set 8 feet off the ground so they could have assholes running around with their arms up next to
Yeah.
humans. Like I miss that.
Now, this movie did very bad box office wise. I don't know if that's in your trivia, Jacob, or worth pointing out here, but this film made about 40 million in the box office, not at all reaching that, of course, 100 million domestic that you'd at least hope, but I'm sure it didn't get a huge international outside of like the UK or something. So,
That's
bummer.
interesting. Yeah, I
No,
would
and Treasure
say,
Planet underperformed too.
I assume that's why they stopped adapting books.
Could be, yeah. I mean, I told you guys in the Christmas Carol that growing up, like the big three for me, Muppets wise, was like those two and the Great Muppet Caper. And you guys are like, "What the Great Muppet
Exactly.
Caper?" I've never seen that, but that was one I watched as a kid too, and that was an original story, of course.
Sure. That is
But
after this or before this?
that's before this, I
Okay.
believe.
That's a Jim, not a Brian.
Yeah. Let me look that up, but.
Worth pointing out, there's one other son in this. I don't know if you guys know, Brian Henson has his brother John creating an original character. He is Sweetums.
Oh, John is
Isn't
Sweetums.
that
Nice. I love
your
Sweetums.
brother,
He's one of my
your whole
favorites.
family does every intricate puppet. Your brother took over your father's legacy directing, and they're like, what do you want to do? And you're like, I just want to wear a suit and be sweet.
I just want to be sweet.
I just want to be sweet.
That's great.
So to give you a little history on the history of Muppet movies. So, of course, we had The Muppet Movie, 1979.
Never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had The Great Muppet Caper, which is a musical heist comedy.
Oh, it's the second one. Wow.
Yeah, 1981. Then Muppets Take Manhattan.
Sure.
84. Then The Christmas Carol, 92. Treasure Island, 96. Then they went away from adapting literary, and they did Muppets from Space, which I believe is the one that they kind of go into Gonzo's backstory. Like, where did he come from? It turns out he's an alien.
He's an alien, yeah.
Yeah, that's 99. And then there was a long break yeah, before Muppets and Muppets Most Wanted, which were the new ones.
So crazy that they only dipped into the horror well one time with them going up against Jason and Manhattan.
They both were taking Manhattan at the same time.
Jason taking Manhattan.
That was so wild that they fought him before Freddy did.
Yep. Sweetums v. Jason, dude. It's crazy.
Ooh, Gonzo, we gotta get out of here.
He'd be chopping him in half, like, but Gonzo would like it.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. But that is too bad that it didn't do well financially, because that we probably would have gotten the King Arthur one after this one as the trilogy of literary adaptations.
Again, I didn't see this in theaters. It was just like a home blockbustery.
It was like rent it from the video store.
Like, I don't know. We weren't rushing to movies like this. I don't know what to tell you, studios.
To me, as much as I like this one, I do think The Christmas Carol is better. Like, just as a movie, I think it works better. This one's fun, but I think Christmas Carol has more rewatchability just from being a Christmas movie, too. You can always watch it around Christmas time, and it gives you a nice feeling, you know.
Are the songs weaker in this one?
I think so.
There's a couple standouts, but I think overall they are weaker. I think there's like one bad song, and it's just in the extended cut of Christmas Carol, but in this, like, there's at least two or three that don't quite hold up. I love the opening, Shiver Me Timbers, Cabin Fever's fun.
Cabin Fever's maybe the best song a Muppet's ever made, I would argue.
That could
That's
be the
one
best
that
ever.
Really, really stuck with me as a kid. I've got Cabin Fever and all that.
I would put it on and do it for my parents while they would like make dinner. Like, I would like sing along, do Cabin Fever as a kid. I'm sure they were like, okay, like, get that energy out.
No, that's definitely one of the best songs they've ever made. It's like this great medley, and the two dudes who sell it at the beginning, I've got Cabin Fever, I've got it too. Like, that's stuck in my head, that line read.
The shot where it cuts to a crypt and the skeleton one just says, and then they died. And that is all that shot is in the middle of the song Cabin Fever. And you go like, how much did that cost? Like, again, you're like, the money they're spending on jokes that last 1 second.
Yeah.
And the frame again, the density amount of, too is insane.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And the amount of individual, like, unique Muppets in this movie is just insane. Like, you're constantly seeing new Muppets in the background. That's why I'm like, were all these Muppets here from the beginning? Because, like, in the final fight scene, I'm seeing new pirate Muppets and stuff. I'm like, where did you guys come from?
No, and they have some complicated oners during the musical numbers where they pan up the stairs. You see rats, like, on a date and stuff. And it ends on a two-shot of Tim Curry and Hawkins. And I'm like, what the... The technical aspect of this is insane, right?
But that's it's incredible. Complicated.
Yeah.
Honestly, all the rats on vacation stuff I just really loved. I thought it's very funny that they're just doing their own thing while this whole pirate adventure is happening. And Rizzo's like he's like, I'm going to make some extra money from this voyage, you know, get some rats on vacation here.
Like, beyond that, Jacob, I would argue it makes sense in a way that informed my comedy taste going forward, where I was like, yes, that's logical, is that of course there would be rats on a cruise ship on this pirate ship. That's the funniest thing ever made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like they're stowaway rats, right?
Yeah, and I remember feeling after the end of this, because I hadn't seen it in a while, when, spoilers, you know, Silver is sinking in his boat, because I happen to know these were unsafe, because the bit was to inspect the boats. But then I'm like, oh, the treasure's just gone, nobody gets it, bummer. But then at the end, you know, you see the little rats on vacation are doing a little diving, and they're pulling the treasure up. So, like, the vacation rats, you know, are the ones who salvage it. It's so good.
Yeah,
I love them.
And again, the deep cut references to the original story is insane, because Mr. Arrow, the first mate in the original story, does get washed overboard and dies in the story. So they sort of PG'd it up a little bit where he comes back and he didn't really die. But that's all a reference to that story beat. So it's just insane how much detail like they really went for with this adaptation.
Yeah. And I mean, again, the Long John Silver character, Tim Curry is having a great time with it. He's playing it more for comedy than Michael Caine is, that's for sure. He's having fun with the Muppets.
He's bigger. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's typical Tim Curry kind of acting.
That's totally correct for Scrooge, too. Like, Scrooge should not entertain the Muppets one bit until the very, very end. And, you know, Tim Curry's enjoying kind of the moment and interacting. Yeah.
Scrooge is not a big character. He's very reserved. And,
and by the way,
gregarious nature here is good.
Yeah. By the way, so I said, you know, Treasure Planet has the Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio connection to Pirates of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Do you know that there's a connection for this movie to Pirates of the Caribbean? Do you know what that could be?
I'm trying to think an actor that could possibly be crossed over. Yeah, it's like Jeffrey Rush is in like a backup. Yeah,
Barbossa shows up.
Costume. Right.
Like,
right.
No, I have no idea.
I'll say it's not an actor, but someone behind the scenes. I'm talking the music was by Hans Zimmer.
Oh, of
course. Hans Zimmer did the music in this.
Wow.
That kind of blew my mind too. I'm like, Hans Zimmer is doing Muppet Treasure Island in 1996.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It was Paul Williams in the last one. That's maybe why I liked it more.
I mean, I do think this movie kind of loses me once they get to the island a little bit. I like all the lead up to the adventure, the first stuff like with Blind Pier and like Cabin Fever. Once Cabin Fever's done, though, it does feel like we're kind of in a little bit slower of a third act. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Spirals a bit.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they go to the island. Kermit's just going to be like, all right, let's just leave them there. We'll come back in a few years. But then they're like, they took Jim. So they have to go rescue him.
Hand me my crutch, boy. Oh, I'm just so clumsy.
You gotta get closer than that.
Right. I want to shout out just to, I know we just said he is big, but to rewind you just a second, Jacob, in that moment where Mike said we finished Cabin Fever and we go to the pan of them sitting together, that very real moment where he takes Jim's compass and he starts to do a joke with it.
That's all my Jim's that's all like, I have with my father.
No, that it's like it's serious. Like, please don't joke about it. And the look on Tim Curry's face and the fact that he immediately shuts down, like, oh, no, I do understand. I'm so sorry. And then when he listens to him, how old were you when he was gone? 7. I was 8. That's a great scene. That's a really good scene.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I really love about this character is that he does, like, actually care about Jim Hawkins.
He's not manipulating him there. That is all true sharing emotion. And at the end, when he says, like, jump on the boat and come with me, he does want another little buddy. You know what I mean? Like, he wants a scoundrel in friend and crime. So.
And he, tosses the compass back to him because he knows how much it means. Like, all that, it comes full circle. And
Jacob,
yeah,
did you ever read the plot to the canceled Treasure Planet 2 movie?
No.
It is about Jim going to the Naval Academy, and through some adventures, he finds Long John, and they have to team up for the rest of the movie and, like, becomes a good guy. It's kind of it's almost like that film finally paying off that he is kind of a likable character, I would say. Like, it takes them 2 movies to get to it, I guess, was their idea.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's interesting.
I need to rewatch that because it's been a while, but I mean – I do want to shout it out because I think it's worth checking out. I mean, you got Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the voice of Jim Hawkins, who they do age up a little bit in this version. So he's kind of like a teen instead of a younger kid. There's a lot of he kind of windsurfs. He space surfs.
The solar surfing.
Yeah.
Depending on when Tarzan came out, Jacob, that might be the first use of CGI in a Disney movie for animation because that was the
big
selling.
It was very visually impressive for the time. Yeah. And of course, this is John Musker and Ron Clements, who did Little Mermaid, Aladdin, Hercules. So they were pumping out these hits for Disney.
Moana.
Yeah,
Moana, Princess and the Frog. But in the 90s, they were pumping out these hits. And they're like, okay, we've been wanting to do this Treasure Planet, this sci-fi adaptation of Treasure Island for so long. Please let us do it. And then it was kind of a box office bomb, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Undeserved, because I think it's a lot of fun.
It does get kind of pointed to as like the inflection point, I guess, of when we stopped spending so much money on Western animation, like that and the Iron Giant. It's like two of these massively underrated animated movies that just didn't do well at the time that now have come around to be like really appreciated. It's like, damn, we should have probably invested
more.
It
was sort
in
of
this.
the uh Yeah, it was sort of the end of the golden age of Disney
Right.
animation of the 90s, where they were pumping out like Aladdin, Little Mermaid.
A couple of years, we're going to have a Toy Story, and it's a whole different ballgame at that
Treasure,
point.
Treasure Island, two adaptations of Treasure Island were the death of 2D animation and Muppet
Muppet,
movies for a
yeah.
while. Why would that be?
Again, if you
Treasure Island is
remember,
good.
our
Crazy.
thesis of pirates going back is that for a long time, pirates were seen as box office failures because they kept trying to make pirate movies
Yeah.
with like Cutthroat Island stuff. And forever they said, oh, don't waste your time making pirate movies. It's going to be a box office bomb. And then Black Pearl kind of changed that sentiment about pirate
Pulls
movies.
Well, let me just
So.
tell you know the one-legged man brings only death, and that's what the problem was. They both had Long John in here, and they probably picked a different pirate story. You would win. Okay.
That's
That's right.
right.
I mean, in Treasure Island you had David Hyde Pierce as basically the Squire Trelawney character. He's like a scientist, and you had some good voices in there. So
That
and I remember.
Starz original series Black Sails, which of course I brought up in the One Piece episode, because wherever they shoot in Africa, they have all those boats still made, and they use them because that's, you know, if you make a pirate ship, put them in the next pirate ship show. But
Yes.
that show, Black Sails on Starz, that
Yes.
is a Treasure Island
A
prequel
prequel.
series? What does that
Yes.
mean, Jacob? It stars a young Long John Silvers on this Captain Flint journey, I would imagine.
That would be my guess, right? You think it's
Yeah, I
Captain
believe
Billy
it's
Bones
the
is a character? That'd be cool, I guess, right?
yeah.
It's, I believe, the
Jim
story
Scat?
of.
Safely now, Mr. Silver. Let's not get sloppy just because we're singing.
I was just looking at this before the episode too, but it's yeah, it's Captain Flint's crew, and Long John Silver is a character.
Is there any actor in it that I could glom onto to watch?
Yeah,
This
right. Let
sounds
me
up my
cast.
alley. Is it like it's like Vikings? Because it was on like the History Channel. Or no,
it's
it was
like
Starz,
Vikings,
I
kind
guess,
of.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
Toby
don't even see.
Stevens plays Captain Flint.
Toby Stevens. No,
Yeah.
I don't think so, buddy.
Yeah, not.
Tom Hopper plays Billy Bones. Okay.
We
That's
have.
he was in the Umbrella Academy.
Oh,
Oh,
big
okay.
guy,
Oh,
you know?
sure. I like that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get
That's
Ray
terrible. No, that's
Stevenson, the
not bad.
late great Ray Stevenson. In this as well. I don't know what
Yes,
role.
Ray Stevenson. He played
Probably
Edward
Captain
Teach,
Flint.
Blackbeard.
Oh, he's played the
Oh,
beard. That's
yeah.
cool.
That might be enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's not a, it wasn't like a huge hit, but like you said, it's sort of like Vikings or those kind of
But
shows
it is,
where.
but Robert Louis Stevenson wrote a prequel, or this is just a totally original
Pretty
idea?
sure it's an original story,
Okay.
but it's kind of like, what was Captain Flint's crew up to before the events of Treasure Island, you
And the
know?
last episode will be him just blowing them all up and saying,
Yep,
see ya.
yeah, I guess so. There's
Okay.
four
And the post
seasons.
creds is one guy hiding on the island.
Well, the postcard's Rizzo. I believe Rizzo and
Oh, yeah.
Gonzo are in
That's right.
that. Yeah, it was ran from 2014 to 2017, four seasons.
Wow.
So I feel like it was another one of those Game of Thrones, like, you know, in the
Yes.
heyday of Game of Thrones, people were like, whatever historical kind of thing we can get going.
Jacob,
Yeah.
Vikings in that show were 100% a response of every channel should have their own Game of Thrones. You are 100% right.
Yeah. The Last Kingdom on Netflix,
Spartacus.
which is a
Yes.
show that I really
Ooh,
liked.
man.
Love The
Yes.
Last Kingdom. Shout out to that show. That's a really good
That's right.
show.
You do like that.
Sure.
You guys wouldn't understand, but
Well, I think.
Marco Polo, again, I mentioned in the Shogun episode, was another
Oh,
one.
yeah.
I got a
Yeah.
lot of Anjin from Long John Silver in this when he says at the end to Jim Hawkins, "No, you'll actually be coming with us and going on trial." And he's like, "I'm actually allergic to hanging. See you later." I was like, "Good for
Yeah.
you, Long John. Get out of there, my man."
Yeah. And can we talk about how Sam the Eagle has a pretty big part in this, which I feel like is unusual for Muppet Productions, where it's like, we're gonna give a really big speaking part to Sam the Eagle
Oh, and it's
and
so good.
Fozzie
He's
Bear. Yeah.
perfect with
He's
it.
perfect.
Yeah, because we talked about his great lines in the Christmas one. This is a school of business. Like, that's it. It's just
Yeah.
generically business,
Yeah.
and he's, yeah.
Well, speaking of those two specifically, Fozzie Bear and Sam the Eagle, the only reason I have an issue with the Benjamina gun stuff is because, one, I love Miss Piggy so much, but truly I was like, oh, it's such a small part. I bet by this point, since he gets the "and starring Frank Oz" at the end, he probably doesn't even like being in these movies or want to be across the board of them. He plays Sam the Eagle and Fozzie Bear. So Frank Oz is very much in these movies.
And I'll say another interesting fact. So Yoda. Frank Oz, he wasn't available to do the puppetry for this movie. So he did the voices, but because he was directing the movie Bowfinger at this time.
Well, Oh my gosh. That's cool. That's cool. Cool. Yeah. I like that. That's cool.
I like that movie.
But he did do the voices, of course, so some other puppet people. So he's kind of telling them how he puppets the different puppets, giving them the personality.
This is how Yoda did it. This is how we did it with Yoda.
Yeah.
And then here's another sad fact for you. So of course, Fozzie and Sam the Eagle have these big parts. Rolf the dog does not have a speaking
part. Not in the movie.
He's in one shot in the background. He does not have any lines. And the reason for that is, so Rolf the dog was, according to Brian Henson, his dad, Jim Henson's favorite character, and the character that he was the most like, even more than Kermit. Rolf the dog was based on Jim Henson. And so after he died, Brian Henson felt like he didn't want to use Rolf the dog in a big part because he felt it was just too soon kind of thing for him. So that's why Rolf the dog is not in this. Yeah.
What shot is he in? I did not clock him at all.
I think he's in a background early on, like
in the tavern scene.
Yeah, he's in a background shot in the tavern.
Wow.
So kind of sad there, but
I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you have Miss Piggy, Benjamina Gunn, of course, the gender bended Ben Gunn character. Of course, the relationship between Captain Smollett and Benjamina Gunn is completely invented for this movie. They did not have
it. Comes in the last 20 minutes, and she's maybe in three scenes, and then at the end she's on the boat, and then we of course meet the, and I almost wonder, is this a Star Trek reference? We meet her Boar people, and she says, "I'm queen of the Boars," or she says something like that. And they're like a war tribe, and if you look, one of them has the Klingon, what's the thing with the thing at the end and the Yes.
Well, of course, there's the
Spock thing. I'm sorry. What's the Vulcan one called?
Oh, you're right. I don't know what that is.
Oh, Batleth?
No.
Well, that's Klingon is Batleth. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's the one with the weight at the end and then the razor. Whatever. Yes.
When fighting over T'Pring.
Well, of course, there is Pigs in Space, which is a reoccurring
which is a
Star Trek reference. Which is Miss Piggy and some other pigs being like Star Trek crew, basically.
Why
so I thought those
so
native
pigs
were kind of the Pigs in Space equivalent in this movie.
That's a good pull, dude. I bet that's true.
Yeah, but they say that like 5-year mission to boldly go, blah blah blah.
Hey, what's that sound like? They also say that joke about what are you saying, I'm gonna go to an amusement park based on a singing and dancing mouse, and it's like, when you guys think of Mickey, do you think of him as singing and dancing?
No, not
only
so
on
much.
A steamboat.
No.
Yeah,
Steamboat Willie. I don't even think of Mickey as doing anything, honestly. He's kind of just like a corporate entity. Yeah.
No, Mickey is saving Sora from the Heartless.
I think of him
that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
From the yeah, exactly. He's opening the door to the dark. Yeah, duh.
Yeah.
I just want to shout out, like, again, set design. Like, it's a long lost art. Like, I assume this was more expensive to make than obviously the box office, because you have to build these sets you can't just go to a location, you have to build them all from scratch. But when you do that, you get like the weird angled door frames in the tavern and all this like bespoke stuff that just has so much character. And it's like you do lose something with this craft kind of going out of fashion. It's just kind of a bummer. All that character,
Mike,
even in the background
not even about how large the sets are, I was thinking about literally just the movement between them. And I almost wondered, got a tavern, you got a boat you're getting on and off of.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a beach. All this fucking stuff. Do you think that was the decision to let's bump up and put a bunch more humans in this fucking thing? Because this is just a logistical nightmare.
Yeah,
there's a real mix of humans and Muppets. And speaking of references, I was going to mention that, again, that Marlon Brando on the waterfront, they have that bald pirate guy who just has that one. He's
Black
basically there just
Peters.
To say,
Black
like,
Eye P.
Could have been a contender. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have been a contender.
Yep.
Wall-eyed Pike. I do love that introduction scene is so funny to me, where they just it goes on for so long.
Well, old Tom, really old Tom, and dead Tom. I never realized that dead Tom is being puppeted by another pirate, saying here. Like it's not actually him. It's just a guy pretending. It was like, oh my God! I've never saw that until this watching. I'm like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, the goat character has so many funny lines.
I mean, Polly is funny. You know, Polly's funny enough. When he gets locked up, it's fine. I don't know. I just, it's like, here's the thing. I was thinking about, again, not only the sets, not only more humans, more actions, blah, blah, blah. You think about the action choreography in this, that there are multiple scenes of our heroes back to back fighting with swords, saying quips, which is what you want out of a pirate movie. And then they do what I think we've covered a lot of pirate material here. What I think, if filmmakers, young people out there who are writing pirate stuff, let me give you a tip. You want the cherry on top of your pirate program that you are making? Have a motherfucker swing on a rope. We have so many people swinging on ropes in this movie. Puppets swinging on ropes in this movie during action scene, one take things like Mike was talking about before, where there's things happening in the foreground, background, action choreography, puppet choreography. And if you want to add $1 million to your fucking box office, have somebody swing on a rope. When was the last time we saw somebody swing on a rope in the Pirates of the Caribbean films? Like by those final ones, they weren't doing any shit like that, right?
Well, like Johnny Jack Sparrow does that a lot. Just
he digitally bounces. He stops doing pirate stuff, Jacob. The fight with that figurehead in the fifth one is him just going like, and just like like waving around. He's not the physical act.
Mike said like they're swinging on ropes in the middle of a town where like what are those ropes attached to?
A motivated rope swing is what you need. Is all.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, that was because that
just do
Jacob,
more piratey things
right,
on the boat.
Yes. Yeah.
I totally
utilize that. Buckle a swash or two, you know. But and again, it's fun pirate action. Again, third act a little like we find the treasure. It wasn't here long, John. Then they tie him up, and he just talks his way out of it. That's a funny scene,
Well,
but it said do
funny,
nothing.
but I'll just once again point out and say, you know, Jacob, you saying that, or whichever one of you guys did, saying that that first black spot scene's the scariest. I would argue this one, because I was so menaced as a child that they got such a great performance out of Tim Curry yelling at everyone to dare give him the black spot. As a kid, I was like, oh, you can like fight your way out of like being cursed if you're like evil enough.
Charismatic
like, that's
enough.
Horrifying.
Well, then there's, he's
I guess that is good.
I'm going to kill you, Captain Kermit. And then Jim is like, well, if you kill him, you have to kill me. And then Gonzo's like, if you kill him and him, you'll have to kill me. And that keeps going on. That's
and
great.
I was like, you'll have to negotiate strongly with me. Yeah.
But that is, here's the strength of writing for children's movies, is that what this film is about is it starts, Jim thinks he has no one. By the end of it, he has an entire family. You do incredible writing of that moment, Jacob. And then if you don't trust your audience enough, you literally have Tim Curry say, quite a family you've gathered here, Jim. You know, like literally, he calls it out. And that's fine because, again, it's a children's movie.
Kids.
But to pay off what you have set up this entire time with that moment, again, not a lot of modern movies pay off the things they set up or have themes or interesting things they're about. This one does. That's why it is well-crafted and good, I would argue.
Yes.
We open with, I hate my life. I hate my life too. If I had a life, I'd hate it. You know, and like they're all three in it together. We're going to go on adventures together. And like through that, we meet.
We're going to go to Zanzibar to meet the Zanzibarbarians.
Where to, that. Captain Jim? Yes. To Zanzibar to meet the Zanzibarbarians.
My minor nitpick, I think, is that just the Kermit character. Like Kermit doesn't have that much to do. Like they did write that whole love plot that feels a little bit tacked on, but it's like I wish Kermit had more kind of adventure-y stuff to do. He's kind of like you said, the buzzkill captain who is the good guy, but he's like, I just feel like Kermit is the main character of Muppets, and he should have more to
should
do.
Be.
Like
when he does the flips and the joke about his hand being slippery, you're like, that was awesome.
Yeah,
that was a good use.
I got slippery hands.
But then you're like, eh. The romance stuff, I mean, it's the weakest part of the movie. He just has nothing to do other than that. So.
Sorry, Jim. I'm ordering you to give me the map. You know, it's like, that's all he's doing until he does front flips.
That's a bad scene, Mike. That is a bad line. Sorry, Jim. I'm ordering you to give me the map. It's
he doesn't trust him. He's like, I want to keep the map, you know, to myself, because he doesn't know who to trust. He doesn't know if he can trust Long John Silver or the captain. And that's again
a buzz killing
similar team. To the original story. Like, that's straight out of there. So
fair. But it's not dynamic for Kermit. It's fine. Like, I get the plot point, but it's not a great look for Kermit. Like I said, he's buzz killing.
It's just kind of a boring character for him to play.
Sam the Eagle is much more interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know if you make, you know, if you made Kermit Jim Hawkins, he's too old.
Jacob, too old. Can I just say something? Do we prescribe ages to these things?
I'd say Kermit's an adult. And if you look in Christmas Carol, he has kids that are like little frogs and little pigs.
What is Muppet Babies? They're not fluid. They can't be prequel. Whatever that's a prequel age and they're all they need to be. Yeah. I don't know, dog. Because the belief is this is a play they're putting on or a movie. We all understand is they are real actors, of course.
Right. I don't know. So the rat they get credited as the Muppet.
They do.
Again, to go back to our Mupp father adaptation, I do think he works a lot as the Michael Corleone.
Because he is the guy who is trying to, from what I understand of that movie, trying to stay on the straight and narrow, right?
Yes, it's about his descent into the dark world of the
final scene where Kermit says, like, close the door. Like, you can just imagine, like Kermit has become evil. Like, can you just imagine?
Oh, God, Kermit, I want that so bad now. I want that to exist.
Kermit goes to the bathroom. He has to fish the gun out of the toilet. The Swedish chef is in the bathroom.
No, just a scene where we sit down, so there's a rat, and Rizzo's like, what?
He just pops up.
Rizzo? No, they keep spinning. Yeah, they do the Quentin Tarantino shot of like going around the table as you hear the voiceover of like, there's a rat, we gotta fight. And Rizzo's just like sweating the whole
time. I could just see him like doing the puppeting like back and forth.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who would be Fredo and who would be Sonny and Tom Hagen, all the
Gonzo would be so about it.
But I feel like Gonzo and Rizzo would be like, again, just like the observer slash bystanders.
But tell me actors. So Fredo is
that's
not Robert Duvall.
What's his name? James Caan. Sonny is James Caan.
Oh, so I want
Fredo
Gonzo to
the
be
fuck
Sonic.
Up brother. Okay. You want who to be Sonny?
I want Gonzo to be Sonny because he feels like James Caan. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not a Jewish thing. I absolutely promise you with the Gonzo nose thing.
Is Gonzo Jewish?
I promise you. There's just an energy that he feels like James Caan to me.
Well, James Caan is Sonny, the first son who's like going to
not
inherit. He's the one who's groomed to inherit the business. Michael is the youngest.
But I've
son.
Seen the toll booth scene. Now, can you imagine a million chickens throwing eggs at Gonzo as he's in the car?
I'm imagining it right now, and I love it. But Fredo is the middle son, and he's the fuck up, and that's the I'm trying to think of that actor's name. He died really young, and that actor was in seven movies that were all nominated for Best Picture, and then he died of cancer very young.
Was getting married to Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
and what's his name? Yes, I apologize.
So that character is in Fazo, right? It's really
it's got to be Fazo. Like he's the fuck up, and he wants to leave and he wants to be a stand-up. He keeps saying, right?
And then Tom Hagen is the consigliere, that's the Robert Duvall character, who's not like related to them. Was adopted as a kid. Basically, he's not Italian though. He's, as he says in the movie, he's like, I'm German Irish.
Maybe
that's
Beekman.
The one you make human. Oh, that's interesting. I was going to say maybe Rolf then too. I don't know.
I think the Marlon Brando's got to be the human character.
Yeah, it's funny.
Really
funny. It's
yeah.
funny.
And then Miss Piggy would be the Diane Keaton, Kay, wife.
Who's your old man? Who is your old actor in their 70s or 80s? Who's your godfather?
Really old Tom.
That's a good question.
Actor.
I mean, I
Tom
said
Hanks,
Tom
Hanks
Hardy.
Would be funny. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hardy doing
Tom
a
Hardy.
Impression.
No, come on. Tom, I'm saying a real old actor. I'm saying throw a Tom Hanks in there. Throw in I don't know, who can act with the fucking Muppets?
Throw Anthony Hopkins in there. He's in freaking Rebel Moon.
That's fucking funny, Mike.
Just do it.
You get Al Pacino or Robert De Niro, who played young Vito Corleone.
That's exactly what
too.
You fucking do, Jacob. That is exact. Once again, Disney, we pitched doing yearly specials. I'm gonna bump this up now. I'm gonna say quarterly Muppet specials.
Yes.
Our specials on Disney Plus that are condensed, abridged version of movies. You do what other licenses? I mean, we've done them all. We said Indiana Jones. We said fucking Star Wars.
We've been saying forever, like, they could be doing so much more with the Muppet IP.
It's insane.
Like, the most recent movie they did was the Haunted Mansion, which is just based on that ride. It's not even based on, like, the other Haunted Mansion movies. No. Like,
and you said obviously the connection here with the writer and the Star Wars guys, but Jacob, that reminds me what I want to say about the Muppet Father and Full Muppet Jacket and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
What I want to point out is the last film that Brian Henson directed was that Happy Time Murders. Now, we've talked about that before. That was the R-rated raunchy thing. Did you guys see that?
No, that's with Melissa McCarthy was like the human, and then everyone else was Muppets. But it was like, it's the R-rated mature Muppets where they're making.
And Peter Jackson already did that.
Thank you, Mike. Right. Absolutely. Now, for all counts and purposes, that Melissa McCarthy husband, whatever that guy's name is, pretty much like pushed Brian Henson out, and I guess like shadow directed that. I'm not sure Brian Henson would admit that. Yeah, who fucking knows? Yeah, everything fucking.
Right.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, Podfather would not be like that. I'm not. No. I am not advocating for Kermit to say like "fuck" and shoot people and that stuff. What I'm saying is, it's funnier if it's the Muppets doing Godfather.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Like, it's
funny if you stay in their world,
and like taking it seriously, comedy. But also there's a lot of sight gags and various jokes. And
imagine
stuff.
The requests being made to him on the daughter's wedding day. Just the cast of characters that rotate through his door. You know,
I might have to watch The Godfather so we can write the song.
Rolf, that's how we get you to watch it, is to relate it to the Muppets.
Yeah, you get Rolf walking away, says, "Get this dog a bone." And like, that's it. You know,
now that I think about it, getting Robert De Niro, who played, again, young Vito Corleone in Godfather Part II, who he's doing a Marlon Brando impression, essentially, in that movie. Now he's old. He's like the age.
He was him in two. He finally gets to be the old version.
It makes too much sense.
It makes too much sense. Jesus.
I love it.
Could they get?
Did you guys watch?
Need to get the rights from Paramount, I guess. No, I was thinking about that since I watched the first two. Now I need to watch Godfather Part III, which I've never seen and is notorious for a bad one.
I have not read The Godfather. I have read a couple Mario Puzo books because they are filthy. Let me tell you, filthy dogs. And you know, he was the first guy, he wrote the Superman movie. He wrote like a 400 page script that they were like, "We have to fire you. You're insane."
Well, it's interesting. He wrote the book, The Godfather, in the like 68 or something, and co-wrote the screenplay for The Godfather with Francis Ford Coppola. So he had a lot of input on the movies. But the first two movies came out within a couple of years of each other in the 70s, 72 and 74. And then later on in like 90 something, they made Part III because the studio was like, "Come on, Francis, come on. You know, you want to make a Part III," which is notoriously bad. They had, he cast his daughter, Sofia Coppola, as Michael Corleone's daughter, originally played by Winona Ryder. And it's made fun of a lot as like not a good movie, but Andy I've never Garcia. Seen it. So I might have to check it out. Yeah. Mm. And then
he just remade it or whatever. Just watch the new one.
You recut it. Yeah. It's called The Death of Michael Corleone Coda type thing. So yeah, it's all on Paramount Plus, which is the other thing. They would have to get the rights from Paramount somehow. I'm sure Disney could work
it's coming
out.
Soon.
I love that we're very seriously like, look,
I'm going to write to Brian Henson and say, "Hey, I've got a million dollar idea for you."
Disney is going to love this. One, they have to pay Paramount money. Two, it is not in their branding at all.
Yes.
Kids are going to love these Godfather references. I'm telling you.
The Muppets aren't for kids. They're from people our age who grew up with the Muppets.
Yeah. Nowadays, yeah.
Mike,
yeah.
You made that point last time in our Christmas episode, and I stand by you saying that, dog. That is a very true thing.
What we need to do is get freaking
Sesame Street. I mean, that's
Jason Segel on board, right?
Yeah.
Right to Jason Segel. Be like, "Hey, man,
I don't know,
you're the Muppet guy, right?"
You always talk about that one. I've completely blocked that one out of my mind, dog. And whatever, I've never saw the one that came after the Europe.
Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're the Muppets' most wanted writing team because I think we are actually the Muppet guys.
Yeah, just give us the Muppet IP. We would do so much more with it than you.
Sell it
are,
to Paramount. Disney. We'll shop a deal. We'll get the Muppet feather.
Yeah.
I would never stop. I would never stop writing Muppet stuff.
I would never
It's just
not
insane
have
to me. I mean, I guess they don't.
Ideas.
They don't sell that well these days, but they try to make, like, they've made various TV shows, like an SNL type show, like different sketch comedy, like, and then like behind the scenes type shows where like they're working on the set
Which
of an SNL
sort
type
of
movie,
like
right?
The original Muppet show from the 70s. You know, it's like we're doing a late night show.
But 30 Rock. Can you here's my answer to that, Jacob, then. Because if they're not selling in movies or TV shows, if that's not working, let me ask you guys this. Can you just buy a Muppet? Like, can you buy like a full replica of Kermit? Like, can a
I'm sure
kid
you could,
just
yeah.
get that? Well,
How
then
much
just
can you
sell
get
merch.
Maybe not like a film accurate like replica of the ones they use for filming, but you can definitely get merch of the Muppets or like lookalikes.
They're certainly not
yeah.
pushed, probably because they actively compete with Disney's other kid friendly. I'm sure it's like they.
But Mickey? Again, they don't use the motherfucker.
Well, he's free now. Well, at least Steamboat Willie.
I just think they fell out of fashion. And kids aren't into Muppets these days. And, you know, that last movie, Muppets Most Wanted, that was in 2014. That was 10 years ago. So what are they doing?
We haven't seen a Muppets movie in 10 years other than these weird TV specials that are, you know, they don't know what to do with.
And everybody that's doing it is retiring and getting old. Like, the craft is on the verge of extinction, I think. But
on
actually,
Kevin Clash like cannot come to these sets, dog. Like, he is like a time bomb for them. So,
and then we have Adam Savage recently went to the Jim Henson thing and saw the process of how they make Muppets. He got a Muppet of himself made. He really likes this stuff too. So I got to see a little bit of kind of the studio. It does seem like a smaller thing, but like, there's people who are passionate. There's no money. How do you drum up interest is the question.
Again, it's just not popular with the kids these days, so it's not going to make a lot of money. It's popular with like people in their 30s and 40s that grew up with the Muppets, right?
So yeah, what do you do?
So what are you going to do?
It's like, how many times can you perform Rainbow Connection at the Oscars? You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's kind of like the only card they have to play still, unfortunately.
Yeah. Look, even if they made like a Pigs in Space feature that was like a Star Trek parody, like, that would be awesome.
But then we got to deal with Paramount again. So they could do Muppet Star Wars. That's easy and probably a good idea.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
They could do but so much.
It's insane that they haven't done Muppet Star Wars. It is insane.
It's criminal.
Yeah.
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 You're giving everything
we
else
got
a bad
we got a
Star
Family
Wars.
Guy Star Wars before we got a Muppet Star Wars.
It would be perfect. Yeah. Luke Pondwalker. Guys, it's right there. Give it to me.
Yeah, Fozzie would be Han Solo or
Princess
something.
Piggy giving the business to Darth Vader, actual guy in a big Prowse size suit, you know? Like, it's great.
Yeah.
Like if they are having this trouble with Star Wars, like getting kids into Star Wars now. Like, they've admitted, like, kids don't watch the new trilogy and stuff, and like clearly like Ahsoka and stuff, that is not made for kids or
no.
Like, isn't the most obvious idea to like put it through a children's filter? Like, isn't that what the Muppets is?
Make it goofy. Yeah. You got the Egg Star. It's a big chicken running around.
Oh,
you got Frank Oz voice Yoda.
I know.
I get worried that you guys seem like an infinite well of Muppet ideas. it is truly worrying how quickly and how much this stuff seeps out of your pores.
Well,
it
Gonzo
just seems like you're wasting
Rizzo
the
are C-3PO and R2-D2. Obviously, with Gonzo being R2-D2, Rizzo being nervous all the time, he pilots a little robot thing. Like, come on, guys.
100%. I would say Obi-Wan is the human where you get like an old Alec Guinness actor to be Obi-Wan.
No, Ewan McGregor. It's Ewan McGregor.
Gonzo says, hey, Rizzo, T2 or whatever he goes by.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to be talking with little beeps? I guess I am, but this is easier for me. Like, it's just like oh my god.
Yeah.
I want
this
more than anything.
They can do so much more.
Sweetums is Chewbacca. It's so easy.
Sweetums is Chewbacca, Mike. Sweetums
I was saying, Fozzie Bear is Han Solo.
Oh, Foz Solo.
That's funny that he's a little furry thing and he's got an even bigger guy.
Furry thing. Oh, wow.
And then Darth Vader, you could have, I don't even know.
That's like a human-sized person in a David Prowse with James Earl Jones voice.
Yeah.
I almost think, is it maybe funnier to have Grand Moff Tarkin be the one human? Because it's like,
Oh
what
my
is that
gosh.
for, like, that movie? It's like, what, like, why would you choose that
But then
guy?
you can
Like,
give that to Sam the Eagle. That's pretty good too.
I mean, I do think the idea of
the Eagle would have to be Grand Moff Tarkin. That's incredible.
I mean, I love your idea of Ewan McGregor being Obi-Wan, and he's just acting with a bunch of Muppets. I do love
it. I want the whole crew of the Death Star to be chickens in that little well on the sides.
Yeah.
They're all just chickens in little hats, you know?
Little white stormtrooper armors on chickens? That is so funny.
Get Hayden Christensen to be Darth Vader wearing the Darth Vader costume.
Guys, it's printing money, Disney.
Disney,
it's
what
like...
are you doing?
You hear all those stories about how, like, you know, modern comedians and actors, it's like when they do get to do, like, I'm Taylor Swift and I get to duet with Kermit, you know, singing Rainbow Connection. Like, truly, like, every person makes a post where it's like, I, you know, like, I know it's a guy with a hand, but, like, I talked to Kermit the whole time. Like, I just pretended he wasn't there. And, like,
they stay in character, you know,
When Fozzie guest starred on At Midnight, like, we were all like, Fozzie. Like, you're my favorite, and, like, I told him he's my favorite comedian. Like, the reverence people have, like, I know we're joking. I know it seems like the easy pull that we keep being, like, Robert De Niro, as he would love to come back to this.
Right,
like, I truly do feel like...
And he acted in the Looney Tunes movie. I'm sure he would do
And
Muppets.
He did Rocky and Bullwinkle, excuse me. And I would argue anybody who did Space Jam 2, don't you dare act like you can't do, like, a Muppet. But
Don Cheadle.
It just seems like, wouldn't Ewan McGregor just be tickled to be the only human being surrounded by these little motherfuckers? Wouldn't that be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity?
Yeah, I think
also
so.
Also to reprise a role that he's kind of known for in a different way. And it just, it writes itself. Like the cantina scene, I mean, it's endless.
Kermit as Luke Skywalker, going out to Tatooine, looking up at the two suns. I mean, come on.
I could just see it, yeah.
Mark Hamill should definitely play the guy who says, I don't like you, to Kermit, and my friend doesn't like you either.
Yeah.
I think that would be super funny.
That's good,
Yeah, get Mark Hamill in there for a cameo. I mean, come on. Again, they're wasting the Muppets IP, and they're wasting the Star Wars IP right now because they're not doing that much. They're going to make some, you know, Mandalorian movie, but
Marvel.
I just want to pitch one more. You get Harrison Ford, you throw him all the money, and he just, we don't serve your kind here. The other droids will wait outside, and that's the only shot he's in.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
good. Tell me that movie wouldn't make like $1 million. I mean, $1 million isn't that
spend,
much.
No, it would make $100 million if you spent 30 on
it. Well, one, let me say this to you guys. If you think any of these are going in theaters, you're dreaming. This would be Disney
Plus. Go straight
Plus
to Disney Plus. But they'd be,
huge
hits on Disney Plus.
8 billion views or to every 20 seconds or whatever dumbass metric you fucking idiots need.
Yeah.
Yes, you would get it.
You tell me that wouldn't do better than Muppet Haunted Mansion? Come on.
It would. The minute they revealed the character, like they announced it and they showed pictures of what everybody was dressing of, it would break the internet. Like that would be the story that day. Would be like, can you believe Kermit's wearing the little Luke Skywalker outfit? That's so cute.
Yeah.
And here's the thing too. They have all that shit laying around because they do nothing but stay on Tatooine and the fucking Death Star. Like they can't get past it. You already have the sets and the volume. It wouldn't cost you much to fucking do it.
I think the thing is they're afraid of diluting the brand of Star Wars, which I got bad news for you guys. It's already pretty diluted with these fucking streaming shows.
I think this is Focus It.
So in specifically, because you sang the Family Guy thing. Like, let's say all those choices were made pre-Disney merger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, the Kathleen Kennedy control, she flat out said the number one priority she said day one was, we are stopping the stormtroopers who do hip-hop dancing at Disneyland. That is over, which was a thing that was licensed to their park, right? Just in the before they merged days. Because she said, we're not making fun of Star Wars. We are strengthening the brand.
Sure.
I would argue you weakened it by putting it on such a high pedestal. The fact that it's not able to have fun and be this thing that we can all like enjoy and laugh about. Muppets would bring that back.
Mm-hmm. Of course, I mean, there's serious Star Wars projects and there's lighter Star Wars projects. I mean, George Lucas made the fucking Star Wars holiday special.
Which is what this is. That is what we're pitching, essentially.
Right.
What band is playing at Jabba's Palace? The only one we got.
Yep.
That's right.
You know?
Yep. And the drums.
Janet looks like one of the jizz players.
Yeah, right.
They'd be playing some jizz.
Oh,
I don't know.
Man.
It's such a waste.
She looks like the fiddling nodes. I think that's what their name is.
The modal nodes.
The modal nodes. That's right.
Yes, they have their entire discography.
They're not allowed to call it jizz anymore. It's called jats now or something.
Oh, I don't like that.
Jizz isn't family friendly, you know.
Jizz shot first.
let's do two final moments that I liked in this movie. Speaking of the band, when they say, "Are we supposed to be playing for these pirates?" They're like, "Hey, don't get involved, man. Like, just like play
stay
the
out
music.
Of the politics." Yeah.
And then later, when Kermit is fighting with Sweetums, and Sweetums beat those people up, and they go, "Are you on our side?" Sweetums like, "I love you guys. What are you talking about?
I love you guys."
Yeah.
Listen, Sweetums is one of my favorite Muppets. That's just like always there in the background. Somehow we turned this into a Star Wars episode, but to focus back on the Muppets for a minute.
Every Muppet
this
episode.
This is the end of our Godfather episode.
Yeah. Oh wow! It always feels
I did love that
Sweetums
scene.
And there's something to be said about the never-ending joy out of the sight gag of the Muppet hitting a wall and them scrunching the face. Like you get a lot of that, and it never misses. You know,
that's what's so good about the curtain roll. I mean, just that they can do anything. Like they are Looney Tunes that are alive.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Rizzo became a popsicle in the Christmas one. It's great. So
that's right. I like that Rizzo. His reoccurring bit is that he's always just hungry and just wants to eat some food.
And nervous.
He's always looking for food. Yeah.
The rats.
Yep.
But we love him. We love the Muppets.
We love them.
Maybe too much, apparently.
Disney, please.
I don't think about them when we're not doing this podcast, but when we're doing it, I'm like, you know what? The Muppets are the greatest thing for me.
I think eventually after our Planet of the Apes, we have to like do the rest of the Muppet movies as a series or something.
That's interesting.
Yeah, you're right. Muppet Planet of the Apes would be great.
Because that's an easy six. Muppets of the Planet of the Muppets.
The Muppets. Planet of the Muppets.
Planet of the Muppets.
Dawn of the Muppets.
Wow.
Dawn of the Planet of the Muppets.
Muppets will never kill Muppets. Rise Muppet together strong.
Beneath the Planet of the Muppets. God, they're all good.
It's too good. All right. Well, you're welcome for the ideas that you're not going to use. I guess.
Yeah, Disney.
Well, like, don't me. All right, we'll catch you on the other side.
We got cabin fever. We lost what sense we had. We got cabin fever. We're all going mad. My sanity is hanging by a thread.
We're back. We've pitched as much Muppet material as we're legally allowed. So I think we're going to go ahead and give our final thoughts here on Muppet Treasure Island.
That's right.
The end of the duo book Muppet adaptations, unfortunately.
I wish there was more. The 90s were a golden time of, you know, they would just make these movies and then they just stopped. But
maybe we'll get Muppet Dune one day, you know?
Muppet Dune.
Don't, guys. I'm going to have to go ahead and say I'm hitting pause right there. I will not allow you guys because that's 30 minutes.
I could riff on that for another 30 minutes.
The Piggy Jesuit. Okay, we'll put a pause.
Mike.
I'm sorry. I'll have to stop.
Let me just ask you this. Myself. How much would it cost to get the rights to the Muppets where we could just start making these? Like, we'll just buy the Muppets from Disney.
Parody. It's parody law.
Yeah.
What is going on? What are you people doing? They have the studio, you know, they let them, what? They just like, what are they doing all day? Like, they're just like making more and more Kermits to do what? What is he? They just, and Jacob, these are returning guys. This is the same Gonzo from our last one that you pointed out is like took over and like did Gonzo for a while. Mm-hmm. Is this the Kermit guy who gets fired for being
Steve Whitmire? Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
He got fired in the 2010s for being just an asshole to work with and refusing to train utter studies and that kind of thing. So
maybe that's why he sucks in this movie a little bit, is because it's still this guy.
Yeah.
We can't have,
But you know, if they're, it's like, I think they're fresh bloods coming in, but what is that to do?
I would assume because all the original actors are getting pretty old and probably dying soon.
Yeah.
Frank Oz.
How do you keep it alive? Right. Disney's not doing anything that I can tell to actually keep the brand relevant. I think our ideas would.
No.
That's all.
I think Frank Oz is like 89 years old.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he's pretty old. But we need to write to Brian Henson, who I'm sure is also pretty old, and say, hey, look, we want to make all these Muppets.
Off on La Brea.
He did that.
Yeah.
He did that Earth to Ned Earth show to that Ned. Nick Weiger was working on from the Doughboys.
A talk show style. It's like an alien Muppet who is a talk show host who's interviews people and stuff.
Like, it's like, but the stuff that, because, you know, I always like, here's the thing. I like Brian Henson. I think he's, I'm not even saying this in a Nepo baby way. I think he plays the character Hoggle in Labyrinth, which of course his father directs. He he plays the main dog who's like the side character in Jim Henson's Storytellers. He directs these movies. You know, he was a performer. I thought he was incredible at it. I talked when we did our Christmas one that he was very much a like animatronics. Like he figured out, he really leaned into when they did the Ninja Turtles sides of stuff, like figuring out those things. So it seems like maybe that was more his passion. I just wonder about the guy, because he has to be pretty bitter that just some weird company owns his dad's thing, right? And that he doesn't just get to do it. But then I wonder, probably. It's like, does he just want to sit around and be Kermit all day? I don't know, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the most recent things they've done with the Muppets to tell you.
Please.
They made, there was a TV show called The Muppets Mayhem.
Right. That's 2023. Based on the band, the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah, that kind of follows the Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem.
Is the an business. Office style mockumentary, I believe. Is that true?
Maybe a Spinal Tap vibe?
Hilarious.
Yeah, sure. I think something like that. Idea. And then in 2020, they had Muppets Now, which was sort of a return to the variety show type of thing. And that was also directed by Kirk Thatcher.
Hey,
So he seems to just still be heavily involved with them. And those are on Disney Plus, of course.
Right.
And then before that, they had Muppet Babies in 2018, which is kind of a return to the Muppet Babies,
Do you think they go to Brian before they go to Kirk Thatcher, Jacob, when they do like The Haunted or, you know, Disney or whatever?
I don't know. He doesn't seem as involved anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
It's a marketing problem too. Like they don't know what they have or how to market it. Maybe we're just the only listeners. Let us know if we just like Muppets too much and we should have a think.
Oh, one last thing, just sorry, real quick. John Henson, the guy who played Sweetums, he died very young as well, like 46. So I will say, geez. Brian does not have his dad, mother, or brother anymore. So that's maybe sad. That also just makes him like hate this shit. I don't know.
But you got to think, to be part of a conglomerate, right? When his dad is doing it and even him, it's like the people doing this type of craft, it's for the love of the game. It's like, because it's so technical and precise, like it's not the min-maxing, make the corp. Like you do it because you love it. And if the company that owns you doesn't give a shit about the craft, you're going to be lower priority. So then, where are you as an artist at that point? Well, it kind of sucks.
Really, I think the problem is Disney right now. And
exactly.
Not just Muppets, like across the board, they're struggling with their different IPs, like MCU, obviously, Star Wars. They're like, what do we do with these franchises going forward? They did have a big win recently with the X-Men 97. That's like the one good Marvel thing that everyone unanimously is like, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like they don't know what to do with these properties. And then there's this whole board fight, if you know anything about like the background of what's going on with Disney right now. There's like a fight for control with the board and, you know, what direction do we go going forward and that kind of thing.
But Jacob, I know it's technically a different thing and this is a different company. It's not even Disney, it's Warner Brothers. But like, isn't there something weird going on with like Sesame Street too, where David Zaslav is like, that doesn't bring in a profit or something?
Oh, I'm
like,
sure, yeah.
Isn't that on like fucking PBS? It's not supposed to bring in a profit.
It's for kids. Yeah, it's an educational kids show.
Supposed to educate kids on how to be decent humans.
Let's cancel it.
But like, do the Muppet people like, they must cross pollinate and like your day must be just built around like in the morning I fix Big Bird and then like at night I fix Kermit and like they all kind of get used, but you know, like nobody like knows what to do with them.
The only recent Sesame Street thing I've heard is when Elmo was talking about mental health or whatever, and then Larry David like choked him.
Yo.
Which was very funny.
I think the tweet responses of just everyone trauma dumping Elmo's tweet or whatever was very funny. Did you see the trailer for this Muppet Treasure Island? I watched the original trailer on YouTube. Did you see it?
No.
It's like brilliant because it sets up the most legendary pirate tale ever told. And they start showing all the sets and just humans, the greatest story. And then they cut to the Captain Smollett, and it's the old guy gets out, and then it reveals Kermit. And like, that's like, they set it up like good. This sweeping miniseries. And I was like, dude, that's like, that's how you do it. So the Muppet Father would be the same way. Like, you set it up like it's a real remake.
It would be,
remake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to make it more than I've ever wanted to make anything in my life.
Tell me old man Robert De Niro wouldn't come back to do that. Come on.
Yeah, that's pretty cute. That's a pretty cute idea, Jacob. I'll star in your little, what's his name? Kermit the Frog? Yeah, that's pretty cute. I'll do that.
Well,
you didn't know Kermit? you don't know who he is? You have like a 1-month-old daughter. You should show her Kermit, dog.
Yeah. I can't stop. I want to say Frog Leone. I shouldn't, but I will.
I love it.
Let's just do one.
It ain't easy being green.
Everybody just do one pass on Muppet Dune real quick. Okay. Here's my big contribution to it.
Muppet Adib.
Should it have any human beings in it? Because I would argue, since it's so weird and space alien, I think it should just be all motherfucking Muppets.
I'm sure. Okay with that. All Muppets for that one. Yeah.
Muppet Harkonnen, like gross, yeah. But like you
who
know,
like
yeah. Who do they? But that's yes. But that's like fun to like again. I think, imagine they're putting a play on. So
yeah,
Rafa's like
animal.
Bad. Yeah.
Again, it would be really funny if you had like Javier Bardem as Stilgar as the only human, and he was just like, "He's on Agai," but it was Kermit the Frog,
and Kermit was saying, "I know the secret name of this planet, Doom."
Is that the pitch, or is it Guns of Agai?
Stilgar just like starts crying.
Oh my god!
Oh god!
It's too
well.
Good.
It's too. You have good. The best ideas, Disney. Call
Muppet Shogun.
Oh yeah.
Imagine Gonzo in the little underwear that Hanjin wears when Kermit's like,
when he's diving.
Race me across the river.
Yeah.
Bring the whatever
the
to the
themselves,
temple.
Folks.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Gonzo won't surrender his guns. Oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
God.
All right.
All right.
We could go on for more hours.
Yeah, no, we gotta tune in next time for Muppet pitches. You know,
we turn into Billy Connolly. We turn into the Billy Bones characters. We live in a Muppet world when we do this podcast. We are the only humans in a Muppet world.
It's like Absolutely. It's like we've drank in the water of life, and we see the infinite futures that are possible for the Muppets, and like no one is seeing. There's a narrow way through, and
I
we know
this.
It.
There is the path forward. Mike is clear.
I'm God. Leading the way. We are leading the way for the Muppets. Yes. Just get behind it. All right.
Kermit saying he's the voice from heaven.
I am leading the way.
Jesus. Jesus Christ. It's so good.
Yep.
Wow. All
right. Well, I feel pretty good about it. The Treasure Island's pretty fun.
It is. This is a great choice. I'm very glad that we capped our series again. We're done with pirates. Done with pirating shenanigans. So thank you, listeners, for following along. We hope you enjoyed it as well. Please let us know if you did. Hit us up at normies_like_us. What I want, you know, don't go there and email us show episodes. Don't go and say, hey, this is a great idea. What I want is your Muppet pitch.
Muppet pitches, yes.
I want you to be writing in and saying, dear Normies Like Us, we will read these. If you submit a synopsis of your Muppet idea and
give
at least a couple cast members, we will go through it on another episode.
Absolutely.
I 100%.
And here's what
promise.
We need to do. We need to have a future episode where we need to buy some Muppet.
Oh my God.
And then do a full episode as Muppets.
See if we can. That's a good idea.
Yep. Oh my That's God.
Great. We're just Muppets on camera.
Muppets
Anyways,
like us.
Muppets
Mike,
like
it's got to be. We have to be in the golden age of 3D printing stuff for Muppets, right? Do you think there's a lot of that goes into it? Probably, maybe,
it's more
or sewing maybe not.
Machine craft, you'd think, you know?
Yeah, if only anything, we knew some people who could sew belts and stuff.
Cosplay people, but otherwise, you don't want to go the AI route. I mean,
yeah.
Illustrate concepts. Yeah. But that's one way you could do like a slideshow. Don't make AI this. guys.
The weird, that is such an interesting thing to point out, is that what the kids watch that are Muppets now are, what are those VTubers that are just, are they AI or are they real people? I don't know.
VTubers is a real person with like a filter over it that makes them like an anime character or something. Real. But when they're talking, the mouth matches what they're saying.
Some of them have full body capture suits and they have.
But don't you think, isn't that kind of where what they're getting their fix on now as far as like performers and a fake reality?
I think a lot of VTubers, there's like a weird sexual element to it.
They're anime waifus. I understand.
It's a form of puppetry in a sense.
Don't dance around it, Jacob. Let me tell you this. I'm into Miss Piggy. There's some weird stuff for this too. So don't deny it.
Hatsune Miku just played Coachella, so...
That's right. Everybody went there to see that hologram.
But she is just a computer thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like those AI pop stars and stuff.
You kids need Muppets in your life, you heathens. Get some Muppets in your life.
Yeah. I'm going to re-listen
throw
to
away
this
these
episode.
Anime waifus. Yeah.
I'm going to re-listen to this episode 2 years and be like, we talked about 500 different things in that episode. Title. Yeah. Normies Like Us, Muppet Treasure Island.
Well, because we have a lot of ideas.
We love Muppets. A heavy Vietnam chunk up.
Oh, man, yeah.
Muppet Platoon, okay. What's...
And you guys explain to me what VTubers are as us exiting. So,
yeah.
Good.
We need to do MTubers.
Yes, Muppet Tubers, Mike. Guys, maybe it's... just invented something, my man. All right.
Wow. Kermit reacts. I gotta stop. I can't.
The fucking Fine Brothers to the Muppets. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, we need to buy the rights from Disney, however much they cost. And we can
I got 20 bucks.
Much.
How much do they really want for them? What do they really care?
You half a ham sandwich. Every avenue. I don't understand. There should be an entire TikTok page that is dedicated to what the Muppets are doing every day. And does it cost you to not get them that exposure?
I just think it's been too long. The kids aren't in the Muppets these days, and they're not a profitable IP for Disney, I guess. So it is what it is. But we've been your normies.
Yes, we have.
We have.
Thank you, normies. This is your host. I'm trying to think of a different movie.
Muppet
to
Colin.
I know, but Muppet Transformers Colin.
Okay. Oh, geez. I can't. Muppet of the Rings, Mike.
I like it.
And this is, Muppet Platoon, Jacob.
I'm going to get the hell out of here. We're little Muppet, shut up.
Gonzo loves to smell a napalm in the morning. Well, that's the other one.
That's right. Muppocalypse Now. And Normies, let me just shout out. We talked about Treasure Island. Check out Treasure Planet. I think it's probably on Disney Plus as well. It's worth checking out if you want another Treasure Island adaptation to watch.
Mike pointed out there's a 1970 anime. I'm going to watch that. So
I got to
check that out as well.
I stumbled across it unknowingly. So now we know there's anime, Treasure Island and anime Starship Troopers. Who knew? But now you do. So there you go.
That's right.
And a Muppets. Jesus. You got to get out of here.
And a Muppets. Muppet
Matrix.
Troopers.
Oh, wow.
The Muttrix.
There you go.
All right.
All right. Well, let's go, you let's get Muppets. You want to live forever?
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
My name is Gandalf the Grey, and I'm imploring you to leave a like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Don't keep it secret. Don't keep it safe. Don't take me as a conjurer of cheap tricks, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Normies Like Us. Fly, you fools!